Whole Hog Sports presents the Basketball Podcast of Mid-America, the premier Arkansas hoops podcast, brought to you by Landers Toyota of Northwest Arkansas. With Whole Hog Sports basketball analyst Scotty Bordelon, here's your host, Matt Jones.
The worry that fans had after Arkansas struggled to beat a Division II team was probably alleviated a little bit last weekend when the Razorbacks beat North Texas 68-60 at Bud Walton Arena. North Texas, an NCAA tournament team from a year ago. Grant McCaslin's team is always one that can play well defensively, and Arkansas overcame a good defensive effort by North Texas to win that game. They overcame a late run by the Mean Green to win that game, and now they're a little less than a week away from their season opener against Mercer next Tuesday night at Bud Walton Arena. Matt Jones joined today by Scotty Bordelon of WholeHogSports.com and Dudley Dawson of Hogs Illustrated. Scotty, we were all there last Saturday. What were your thoughts and your takeaways from watching that game?
Yeah, I think North Texas is the team that, you know, just traditionally tries to muck up the game, especially on the defensive end. That's kind of been the style that you can always count on with Grant McCaslin's teams. They're really stingy defensively, and they play hard. And so that, you know, that makes you have to raise your level of play a little bit. That's a tough exhibition game for Arkansas to play. You know, I thought they weathered an early storm fairly well because North Texas was, you know, going blow for blow with them, you know, until it was about 9-8 or somewhere in that range. And then Arkansas just kind of took over the game offensively. They used a lineup, you know, with JD Note, Devo. I think it was Trey Wade, Stanley Amude, and maybe Odisi Toney. You know, and they, I think they ripped off like 18 straight, and I think that group was part of that. I think that group threw in 14 of those points, and so that's a lineup that I'm pretty intrigued by. There's lots of athleticism and guys who can play positionless ball. I was kind of impressed. You know, Arkansas did, I thought they played really good defense until a North Texas shot went up, and they held, you know, the Mean Green, I think 4-26 from the floor. Or from three-point range. The thing that I liked the most was that they forced 19 turnovers, and I went back through stat broadcast, 7 bad pass turnovers, 5 lost ball turnovers for North Texas, and a shot clock violation. And so that's kind of the defensive intensity, defensive-minded focus that I think Arkansas went into that game with, because Eric got their attention after that East Central game, and so that it was good to see Arkansas bounce back on the defensive end.
The struggle for Arkansas was rebounding. Now, they were without Jalen Williams. They were without Kamani Johnson. And then Connor Vanover and Trey Wade played somewhat limited minutes, although Wade played a little bit more than I thought he would, given, you know, where he was in his rehab from that knee injury in the preseason. North Texas had 16 offensive rebounds. I think they got something like 14 or 15 second chance points out of that. That's really what kept them in the game. Arkansas didn't shoot terribly. I mean, they were 21 of 50 from the floor, 7 of 18 from three-point range. I think you'll take those stats most nights. Still a little bit of a struggle at the free throw line, 19 of 26. That's better than they did in the East Central game, but I think Garrett Musselman would certainly like to see those numbers come up. Dudley, on the rebounding, I feel like this is something that this team is going to get better in the rebounding area once they get Jalen Williams fully healthy. He played through some back spasms in that East Central game. He sat out the other day. It just feels to me like, you know, we're still a month or so away from seeing the full potential of this team, if not longer, because you've got so many players who are playing together for the first time, and you've got so many of your post players who are either out completely or, you know, limited quite a bit.
Yeah, Kamani Johnson is a guy whose forte is rebounding, especially offensive rebounding. I know he had 16 rebounds in a game for Darryl Walker and ULR back in the day in one game. I think what I'd noticed most, other than the great surge they had in the first half when I thought all the, or at least a lot of the transfers really played well and showed why they wanted to go out and pick them up, was I think there was North Texas got some hustle rebounds. It wasn't necessarily because of positioning. It was because they just ran to the ball, got to the ball better. And I think that's obviously something that Coach Musselman and his staff will continue to work on. I think they're going to be fine, but you certainly continue to see things, you know, in a prism where you there's several things they're going to have to continue to become their identity, be able to do things better as a team. And I think that, as Grant McCaslin said after the ballgame when we were interviewing him, that the only way that happens is with playing games. And, you know, two games in the preseason, you know, it's better than zero games, but I know that they would like to, you know, Chris Musselman and his staff would like to have like five to get ready for the season, but that's just not how it works anymore.
I misspoke earlier when I was talking about that lineup that I really liked. It was Amude, Note, KK, Robinson, Trey Wade, and DC Tony, because, I mean, I just kind of forgot that Devo got into foul trouble. But that group, that group, right there in 3 minutes and 17 seconds outscored North Texas 14 zip, and they had five rebounds, more rebounds than any other lineup that Arkansas put out there. And they had three assists, which was more than any other lineup they put on the floor. That was, you know, KK impacting the game. You know, he had a really impressive textbook, you know, help defense steal that led to a transition score. And then I really liked, you know, just the little things that don't really show up in box scores are just like advanced passes, you know, to push the ball down the floor, to beat the defense down and get easy points that way. I think, you know, I was talking about, mentioned Devo a minute ago, him not being on the floor, you know, and picking up a few ticky-tack fouls probably impacted Arkansas's defensive rebounding too. I mean, he averaged, I think, 4.5 boards as a freshman, and you'd be pretty hard pressed to find a guy at the guard spot who, you know, rebounds as well as Devo does.
I was really impressed with what I saw from Chris Likes the other day, Scotty. He just seems like he's energy. That as I was watching him, it's like, what word comes to mind? It's just energy. And he's all over the floor. I thought he made a really nice play there late in the game. And I forget who he passed it to, but he drove into the lane, kicked it out, and someone either hit a long two or a 3-point shot. And that was a real big point in the game, I think, where North Texas had pulled within about 56-53. I think there might have even been an offensive rebound in there for him or someone else from the Arkansas team. The energy that he brings, it feels like maybe there's not anybody else on the floor that is like him in that regard.
Yeah, you're right. And one of the things that I really liked about him, you know, when he came off the bench, he infused, like you say, some energy for sure. You know, he scored. I think he hit a three, and then I think he drew some contact and got to the free throw line. And he's been a pretty good free throw shooter throughout his career, pretty good at drawing fouls. So that's you're going to find your way onto the floor for Eric Musselman if you can do those two things. But something that, you know, his speed and his quickness, he did well the other day outside of that was, you know, he's 5'7", and I saw him boxing out a North Texas forward, and he drew a foul, like an over-the-back foul, which is not hard on Chris Likes, but just the fact that he did that, and he had multiple plays like that where it's just kind of a want to type thing on the defensive end. That's pretty nice. And then he had a steal late in the game that Eric Musselman said, you know, kind of more or less sealed the game. He's just a blur with the ball. And, you know, I'm trying to come up with some season predictions this year. And I think he's a guy that can average, you know, maybe 7.5-8 points, you know, depending on what his role is. But, you know, if he does that and he's primarily a bench player, he could be in the running too for SEC Sixth Man of the Year, just like JD Note was. I know there's a lot of good guards that come off the bench, a lot of good forwards that come off the bench in this league, but he's got the potential to do that. And I think just his creativity with the ball in his hands, you know, I think he might be able to find the ball in his hands, you know, late in some games to maybe take some pressure off of Devo and JD Note.
Yeah, I don't know about the opening lineup, but it looks to me like he's definitely going to be in the closing one because of his free throw shooting, his ability to take care of the ball and ability to make good decisions as he did, you know, in the second half against North Texas. He's a ball of energy, that's for sure. And I get a kick out of, you know, not necessarily him being 5'7", but him being 5'7", seeming to bother the opposing team. They're always looking to try to go at him. He got a couple of steals off of that the other day. And they kind of get out of their game because they're so excited to have somebody 5'7 on them that they just back him down. And not only has he played pretty good individual defense or in these exhibition games, but his teammates are able to help him out in that regard. And I think that's, you know, we saw that the other day.
You hear this talked about a lot in baseball, the feel of the game versus coaching with analytics. I guess you hear this in all sports. As I'm looking through the box score, Likes actually had the worst efficiency of any of the players on the floor the other day in terms of they were outscored by 6 points when he was on the floor. But Scotty, it didn't feel like the team was playing poorly with him out there. That's maybe that's one of those differences between the feel of a game and what the analytics tell you.
Yeah, and it's kind of like one of those deals where, you know, you there can be like maybe one guy in particular in a five-man lineup who is just kind of out there, and you look up and the team gets outscored. You know, you look at the box score at the end of the game and he's like a minus 12, but he, you know, didn't really do anything to negatively impact the game. It was, you know, kind of some of the guys around him, not saying that Chris had a bad game the other day, because I would say that he didn't. He probably, you know, probably helped solidify his spot in the rotation, but you know, I was kind of surprised by that. But at the same time, he can be a bit of a defensive liability, because I mean, Eric Musselman likes to seek out mismatches. Grant McCaslin obviously wanted to seek out mismatches when Chris was on the floor, but Chris is going to have his spot in the rotation. There's no doubt in my mind.
What do we think about the point guard position right now? You know, Musselman talked about that after the East Central game. He said, we're going to have to go back to the drawing board on what we're doing as far as a point guard. Who do you see potentially taking over that position?
One of the things that I see is, and he's going to have to continue to get more experience and just get, you know, some more run as the point guard. KK Robinson does a lot of good things there. Now his minutes have been limited so far, obviously being injured and you know, last year and this year, but I think things flow through him maybe better than the other point guards. That being said, I think you're going to continue to see Chris Lax, Devo, JD Notte play that job. But I do think that if he comes along and can be that, for lack of a better word, pure point guard, then it's going to help Arkansas out in many facets of its play, because I do think he is maybe the best facilitator and distributor of that bunch. He's just got to get some more time.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And one of the things that I wrote in some of the observations, like I wrote about Stanley Amude Saturday after the game, but wrote seven more on Sunday night. One of the things I liked about KK was just that he impacted the game without taking a single shot. And, you know, not to say that he doesn't want to score, but that's just not what the game called for him. And like Matt said earlier, it's just kind of like his feel for the game is pretty good. I loved the passes that he made, like the one that the assist that he had to Stanley Amude for a three on the right wing after KK drove, I think he drove baseline on the left side of the floor. I mean, that's a pass that, you know, not many guards in this league can make, and he made it look pretty effortless. I think he just does a better job than maybe some of the other guards at playing with his head up, and, you know, where he can see teammates and find them, you know, a little bit easier than some others. And I think he's a little bit more of a willing passer than some of the others. I really do think that JD and Chris are probably going to find their, you know, hands on the ball, initiating offense a lot. I still think Devo is a better two guard than a lead guard. Not to say that he can't do it, but you know, I think if Devo slides over to that two more, that could, you know, open up some opportunities for KK to get some good run.
I also think that Devo, you know, loved the way he played last year. I don't know if the clippings or the you know, claim that he's getting, that some of the shots he took the other day were not, you know, viewed greatly by Coach Musselman. And I think he's got to get back into being the type of player that he was last year in getting to the hoop, doing different things, and not trying to become a scorer per se.
Yeah, he lost the handle a couple of times when he was, you know, looking to make a immediate spin move after he touched the ball. And then I remember that there was a pretty wild jumper he threw up on the baseline in front of Arkansas's bench that just kind of like knocked me back a little bit. I mean, Eric said it too, like him, like his shot selection's got to improve. Like I think he tried to play maybe a little bit outside of himself just because he, you know, was having some early struggles with foul trouble.
Let's go through the stats real quick from the other day. JD Notte led all the scorers with 21 points. Chris Lax, as we mentioned, had 14. Stanley Amude was the only other player in double digits. He had 12. He fouled out with about 4 or 5 minutes left in the game. Amude was the team's leading rebounder with five. Mentioned that he had the five fouls. Devo had the four fouls. Seemed like foul problems were an issue for both teams the other day. I don't know if maybe that's just early in the season or maybe that's just how the game was being officiated. Note and Adis Toney led the team in minutes, 36 and 35. And then we mentioned Trey Wade earlier, Scotty. He had the highest efficiency of the team when he was on the floor, only on the floor for 17 minutes. But when he was on the floor, Arkansas outscored North Texas by 15 points.
Yeah, he just does some things that are just really valuable. And, you know, one of my observations, and this was basically, I took it from Eric Musselman's mouth, is just that Trey is going to infuse some toughness on the floor, just kind of the same way that Chris brings energy. And Trey, like if you've ever stood in the vicinity of him, he is built like a linebacker that every SEC coach would want. And he's going to use that to, you know, he's going to use that to his advantage. He can, you know, be a little bit of a bully on the glass. He's undersized for a forward, kind of in the same way that Adrio Bailey was, but both of those guys just have, you know, a great deal of toughness that's, you know, going to allow them to grab rebounds, you know, better than most guys that, you know, their size, about 6'6" or 6'7". And he just, you know, he's kind of a guy, kind of maybe like a Jackson Robinson, but with the forwards, he's kind of low maintenance. He's not a guy that his energy level is going to dip because he's not getting, you know, X number of shot attempts. And veteran guys played in some big games at Wichita State before, you know, so he's going to be a big piece of this team.
The guy I harken back to is Darryl Hawkins from back in the day. I see him as being a similar guy in terms of what he brings to the floor, the toughness aspect, some experience. Darryl Hawkins was a really big key, you know, to Arkansas success during his time here.
The Basketball Podcast of Mid-America is brought to you by Landers Toyota of Northwest Arkansas. Visit them at their location in Rogers or at LandersToyotaNWA.com.
For all your automotive needs, shop Landers Toyota NWA in Rogers, where we guarantee you the best buying experience and best service after the sale in Arkansas. Landers Toyota NWA in Rogers.
As we mentioned, Arkansas will open the regular season next Tuesday with a game against Mercer. That's a 7 o'clock tip-off at Bud Walton Arena. Mercer has been a team that's been pretty good in its conference over the last few years. Scotty, what do we know about the Bears?
Well, we know that they're going into year three with their coach, Greg Gary. And, you know, year three is kind of the season that you want to, you know, maybe see your program take a little bit more shape. And, you know, they've got, you know, a couple of good pieces coming back to, you know, help make that happen. Neftali Alvarez, a 6'2 guard, he shot 45% from the floor last year, averaged 13 points. And then they've got a 6'9 forward, Felipe Haas. He averaged 12 and 8 pretty much last year. And he's a, you know, he's a threat from the perimeter too. He knocked down 59 threes and shot 39% beyond the arc last year. So that's going to be an early test for, you know, Arkansas's front court, you know, just to see how they match up with him. I imagine, you know, Greg Gary will probably put Haas in some pick and pop situations and just see how Arkansas is going to react to that. But Alvarez is he's pretty good. I mean, he's a pretty good point guard. Last year, he was, you know, he had an assist rate. He's 23.3%, according to KenPom. That's pretty good numbers. He's a pretty high usage guy, too. I mean, he took 27% of their shots last year. My answer is brought to you by KenPom.com, by the way. Mercer's going to be, I mean, they're going to be a pretty good team. I think Arkansas will, you know, probably have their heads on straight for this game, but Mercer's not a rollover opponent. You know, for a season opener, like I've said in the past, there's a couple guys that you got to, you know, keep your eye on. I think Haas is probably the key to the game. You know, Arkansas's, you don't know what they're going to look like health wise, and so, you know, those front court guys staying out of foul trouble and figuring out who you're going to match up with Haas is going to be a big deal.
I feel like these early season games are always kind of hard to get a feel for it because, you know, you just don't know a whole lot about these teams. We really don't know a whole lot about Mercer other than, you know, what they have coming back. They are supposed to play an exhibition game tonight, I believe, against Fort Valley State at their home arena in Macon. And Dudley, it's seems like the season just gets earlier and earlier too. It's used to start these games somewhere around the week of Thanksgiving, and now here we are a couple of days after Halloween talking about the season opener coming up pretty soon.
Yeah, and it's it's fairly interesting how that's developed over the years. The NCAA has continued just to allow them to creep forward and creep forward and creep forward. Practice used to always start on October 15th. Now it starts on September 28th and things like that. It's just as they try to cram more games in and more TV deals and stuff like that, you know, it's kind of played itself out that way. But looking forward to the season, you know, obviously there's going to be a learning curve as they go along, as they try to find their identity and who their rotation is going to be. I think that they've certainly, as Grant McCaslin was saying after the game on Sunday, they've certainly got the pieces. They've just got to figure out how to put them all together.
I was looking at Mercer's schedule a second ago, and Arkansas is far and away the biggest named team that they've got in their non-conference. And obviously they play in the Southern Conference, so there's not going to be any big names there. They'll be excited to, you know, play Arkansas and, you know, get a shot to knock them off early. One of the things I'm going to be real interested in is how this new team, I feel like Eric Musselman has to do this every year, you know, just how to best get your scouting report across to guys and how well they pick up on it. Because if you don't, you know, follow the game plan, which it sounds like, you know, some of the guys in Arkansas's front court, like Jalen Williams and Connor Vanover against East Central, they, you know, they basically went away from what the coaching staff wanted to do in terms of pick and roll defense. You can't do that like against these, some of these mid-major teams. And Mercer's got a little bit of a reputation for knocking off some big dogs in college basketball. So they'll be excited. I just want to see if Arkansas can really stick to the script and take care of business and just move on.
A couple of scheduling notes. Arkansas just finalized its time for the Gardner-Webb game. That's on November 13th. That's going to be a 2:00 tip-off at Bud Walton Arena. It'll be on SEC Network Plus. They had been waiting for the Arkansas-LSU football game time to announce when they would play that. Now, the Arkansas-LSU game obviously is in Baton Rouge, but they don't want to have football and basketball overlapping if they can avoid it. So Arkansas and Gardner-Webb will play at 2:00 on that afternoon, and then the Arkansas-LSU football game will kick off at 6:30 that night on SEC Network. Also, the women's basketball team, they will play their only exhibition game of the preseason on Friday night. They're going to have Arkansas Fort Smith in here, a Division II team. And Dudley, that's something that I've been waiting for. And honestly, I'm a little surprised that we haven't seen the men schedule either UFIS or UA Monticello, given that you can have interstate games now. I think at one point you're probably going to see UFIS or Monticello or a team like that come up here for a preseason game.
Yeah, and it Coach Neighbors and Coach Musselman are both very interested in doing that. Obviously, Coach Van Horn and others as well on campus now that that's going on. But they'll always be West Ark to me, baby.
Now, Dudley, you were in Omaha the other night, not Nebraska, Omaha, Arkansas. I don't think you got a good steak there. But you went there to see Jordan Walsh play for Link Academy from Branson. That's a short drive down to Omaha, and they played a New York team, a prep school from New York. Number one, how did that game even get into a little A-size school in Arkansas? And number two, what were your thoughts watching Jordan Walsh, the five-star Razorback commit?
Well, as far as the game being in Omaha, Link Academy, Link Prep has a small gym. It only has bleachers on one side. And since Jordan Walsh committed to Arkansas, there's been a lot of attention on that. The Omaha reached out to the league and said, hey, you know, would you like to play in our gym? And it is a really nice gym for such a small school. I think there's 93 people in the town, but obviously the school is a little bit bigger. But Jordan Walsh stuffed the stat sheet. It was worth making the drive over for this rebound dunk that he had where he took off from the free throw line, sort of over a couple of people and jammed it home. But also Arkansas is one of the main competitors for a junior named Omaha Ballou. So Omaha was playing in Omaha. He had 20 points, was very, very solid inside, 6'8", about 230, someone at Arkansas, I guess Arginal, the assistant coach, was over there last night, that they would love to have as well. So it was well worth going over there. And Walsh, it's obviously the first time I've got to see him play this season per se, because it was their opener. But he does so many things well. And that team, that Link Academy team, has a starting five of Ohio State, Michigan, LSU, Arkansas, and one other player that, it's the best high school team I've seen this year for sure.
Later this week, we'll have our preseason basketball tab that comes out in the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. You'll be able to read those stories as well at wholehogsports.com. And Scotty, you're going to have predictions coming out pretty soon.
Yeah, I beat my head against the wall all day on Tuesday trying to come up with some. I came out with 15 last year, and I think I'm going to get there again. Just kind of a little sneak peek. A couple of things that I track during the season are potential assists, which like that can shine a little bit more light on a guy like JD Notae, who maybe you'll look in the box score and you'll see that he had one assist in a game, but it doesn't mean that he wasn't willing to pass to his teammates. Like, he could have set up six or seven shots and they missed, you know, five or six of them. And so he only ended up with one. I've got Stanley Amude as the leader in potential assists among Arkansas's front court guys. And then something else I track is, you know, opponents' field goal percentage, you know, against Arkansas defenders when they're the nearest defender. And I think Odisi Toney is going to be a guy that is going to, you know, fare pretty well there. That was an area that, you know, Moses Moody, you know, maybe didn't get as much attention as he should have last year. I mean, when Arkansas turned its season around, he was holding opponents to like something like 27 or 28% from the floor. That's super valuable, something that you got to replace. And I think DC Toney, he's got similar length. I don't know that he's as long. The wingspan of Moses Moody is pretty impressive. I don't know that DC Toney's there, but he's got the length and the skill set to be a pretty good individual defender.
Arkansas is one of 11 teams that's going to start the season next Tuesday night against Mercer. The other three teams from the SEC are going to start on Wednesday, really with the exception of that Duke-Kentucky game and the Champions Classic that's going to be played at Madison Square Garden. All of the games are like Arkansas-Mercer in that you've got an SEC team playing a team from, say, like a mid-major or a low-major. So really not a lot of interest there on opening night unless it's your team playing. Real quick before we get out of here, Scotty, we'll start with you. What are you looking for when Arkansas plays Mercer next Tuesday? Because it's going to be our last podcast before that game.
Yeah, I think, like I mentioned earlier, just kind of how does Arkansas come out and defend Mercer? Are they locked in? Are they in tune with the game plan? And Eric Musselman also, you know, places a pretty big premium on, you know, limiting live ball turnovers and not letting, you know, opponents, you know, get out and run on them and make, you know, kind of force them to score against Arkansas in the half court. So I know it's early in the season. You can probably bank on a little bit of sloppiness here and there, but, you know, just Arkansas keeping its turnover numbers down will be a pretty big deal. Eric's teams, you know, in the past have always, you know, been pretty good at valuing the ball. So I'm kind of looking forward to that and, you know, seeing who has their hands on the ball most. I mean, that's, you know, once the season starts, you can start looking at KenPom numbers and seeing who's got the highest usage rate, who's lowest usage rate, assist rate, all that kind of stuff. That's going to be really fun to track this year.
I'm going to be looking to see how they handle Felipe Haas, because this is a kid who played 2 years at South Carolina before transferring to Mercer, played 65 games for them in the 2 years, is somebody who's continued to get better as he's gone along. But it's a, you know, will be a telltale sign maybe of how they're going to be able to defend a good player inside. We know there are plenty of those across the SEC, and certainly Arkansas is going to see some in the Kansas City tournament as well. So looking forward to how they handle that defensively, and Mercer will be a good test for them. I know a lot of people, you know, sometimes get on the non-conference schedule, but there's a method to their madness and what they do in terms of trying to bring in teams to do different things to try to get them ready for the season. That certainly was the case last year, and we saw that down the line, even as all the basketball fans in November, December were belittling the schedule that they had in non-conference.
And don't worry, like, the tougher non-conference games are coming, and pretty quick too. Kansas City's feels like it's right around the corner, and Kofi Cockburn might be coming off of, you know, the NCAA suspension. He's going to be ready to play.
For the latest on Razorback basketball, hope you'll visit us at wholehogsports.com. Also, hope you'll check out our other podcasts on the Whole Hog Radio Network. We've got a football podcast, a baseball podcast. We'll have new episodes of those in the coming week, including a special baseball podcast coming up within the next few days. You can find that by searching Whole Hog Radio on either Apple or Spotify. Hope you'll give us a review. Let us know how we're doing. It'll also allow others to find our podcast. For Dudley Dawson and Scotty Bordelon, I'm Matt Jones. We'll be back with the basketball podcast of Mid-America next week to recap a real game, Arkansas and Mercer, next Tuesday night.
The proceeding has been a production of WholeHogSports.com. Look for our latest podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at WholeHogSports.com for the latest news and commentary.